You might remember the story of the master speaking to his students. The master said, "When I was a teenager, my father warned me about certain places in the city. He said, 'Don't ever go into that nightclub.' I said, 'Why not?' 'Because you might see things that you shouldn't see.' Well, this only aroused my curiosity. First opportunity I got, I went into the nightclub. The students asked, 'Did you see things that you shouldn't see?' He said, 'I sure did. I saw my father.'" Jesus talks about hypocrisy today. Did you ever notice there are two things that Jesus just can't stand? Two things he can't stand: injustice and hypocrisy. Why do you notice the splinter in your neighbor's eye, but you don't perceive the plank in your own eye? You are a hypocrite. Remove the plank in your own eye first, and then you'll see clearly to remove the splinter in your neighbor's eye. Boy, it's been a terrible week, huh? We're all devastated by what President Putin is doing in Ukraine this week. We have a number of Ukrainian people in our parish, including my sister-in-law, Ruth. Irene Dimkar, I know you're watching live stream today. Your parents came from Ukraine, and I heard you say this week, "Ever since the invasion of Ukraine, I've been crying myself to sleep." So sad. So sad to watch innocent people become victims of a power-hungry leader. We see how a perverted masculinity, born of envy and resentment, can unleash havoc on the rest of the world. He's exchanging human life for land. Life is expendable. Also, the bombings are destroying Mother Earth. Mother Earth can't defend itself. President Putin called the Ukrainian leaders terrorists, drug addicts, and neo-Nazis. Aeschylus, the Greek poet, once said, "In every war, the first casualty is always truth." Many nations, including the United States, have condemned Putin's aggressive actions. The world knows it's not right to invade a sovereign country and set up a government that favors its own country. At the same time, we have to look at the plank in our own eye, our own American policies. That's what Jesus asked us to do, look at the plank in your own eye first. I think we remember 2003, when the United States invaded Iraq. The Pope came out against it. He condemned it. Spiritus Christi condemned the war. We preached against it. We went down to the Federal Building and protested it. In 2003, the United States followed the same strategy that Russia is following this week: bomb the airport and dominate the airspace. Then you move toward the central city. Same thing. And then what follows that is what we called a regime change. So our goal was the same as Russia's: to set up a government favorable to the United States interests. If you're old enough, you might remember also 1973 Chile, what we did there. We overthrew a democratically elected president, replaced him with a puppet. Chile is still reeling from the damage we inflicted upon them years ago. Not only did we change governments, but we also introduced a reign of terror and torture for the Chilean people. We are right to condemn Russia for misusing its military strength, but Jesus calls us to all look at our own plank in our own eyes first, to remove the violence from our own institutions. Our military, as you know, is by far the largest in the world. This year, we're spending $754 billion on our defense. It's the second largest item in the federal budget, right after Social Security. It's twice what China spends on the military. It's 10 times what Russia spends on the military. That's why we don't have money for pre-K and for healthcare and for living wages. We condemn President Putin for trying to reestablish the old Russian empire. But we don't acknowledge that we operate an empire also. The definition of empire is this: an empire is any nation that uses its military and economic power to shape the world to serve its own self-interest. We're right to condemn President Putin for his authoritarian rule. Many people, thankfully, in Russia are protesting the war. They're getting arrested. They're going to jail. I just heard on the way out of church, the first service this morning, that Ukrainian soldiers captured 200 Russian soldiers. And after they captured them, they lent them their cell phones and said, "Do you want to call home and tell the folks that you're okay?" People in Russia don't agree, many of them, with what they're doing. But once again, we have to look at the plank in our own eyes. When we think of authoritarian leaders, they follow a similar pattern, no matter who they are. According to Brené Brown, authoritarian leaders have these following characteristics. Number one, they exploit people's fears by painting the past as totally wonderful, even though it really wasn't. Putin talks about the glory days before the 1917 revolution. Number two, they tell lies and seduce people into believing a make-believe past can exist again. We'll become a great world superpower again. Number three, they give someone to blame for ruining it all. Putin blames his previous Russian leaders as well as the whole West. And number four, they promise that they are the ones to fix it. They will be the savior to make everything right again. At the same time, we can look at some certain authoritarian leaders in our own country, and they follow the same pattern. Number one, they exploit people's fears by painting the past as totally wonderful, even though it never was. They tell lies and seduce people into believing a make-believe past can exist again. They want to make America white again. Number three, they give people someone to blame for it all, for ruining it all. The liberals are destroying the country. People of color and immigrants are making it unsafe for everybody. Number four, they promise that they alone are the ones who can fix it. They suffer from a messianic narcissism. So, we should ask ourselves some questions about all this. First of all, did those glory days of the past ever exist? And secondly, if they did exist, were they at somebody else's expense? Namely, people of color. Nobody likes hypocrisy. John Mark Green said, "The self-righteous scream judgments against others to hide the noise of skeletons dancing in their own closets." Today, for example, the people in the United Kingdom are upset with their president, Boris Johnson. During the pandemic, Johnson called for lockdowns and social distancing. He promised that he and all the other leaders in Britain are sharing those sacrifices. And then the press discovers that Johnson was holding regular drinking parties at 10 Downing Street. He violated the spirit of sacrifice that he was promising to share in. There was no social distancing, no limiting of social gatherings. So people hate it when they see hypocrisy, when they see leaders pressure others to uphold certain standards and then they don't follow the standards themselves. Moral hypocrisy is an attack on what we call the social contract. The social contract is the agreement to work together for the common good. On the good side, America is making some progress in rectifying a major hypocrisy. Recently, a black man was in the rotunda in the Capitol building. He noticed that he was the only black person there. He looked at the ceiling to see the history of the United States. He saw a few Native Americans like Pocahontas, but there were no black people at all. Nothing that depicted slavery, despite the fact that the enslaved Africans built that building, the Capitol building. They carved, they hauled, they positioned those heavy limestone blocks. Of course, they were paid nothing for it, but their slave masters did get paid. In Washington, D.C., we've had a Holocaust museum to remember the sins of Germans, but it wasn't until 2016 that we had a museum to remember American sins. The National Museum of African American History and Culture was 100 years in the making. It took that long to establish the museum. In 1915, black Civil War veterans gathered at the mall to mark the 50th anniversary of the Civil War. They called for a monument to be built on the mall to honor black Americans. In 1929, President Hoover established a commission to plan the museum. But nothing happened until 1987, when John Lewis came to Congress, and he introduced legislation every year, despite opposition from racist lawmakers, and it was finally signed into law in 2003 by President George W. Bush. At the opening ceremony, Bush said, "A great nation does not hide its history. It faces its flaws and corrects them." take the plank out of your own eye. The museum shows the triumph and the struggle of Black America. It acknowledges how enslaved people built much of this country. It features Black achievements in music and literature and TV and art and religion and business and sports. It rescues Black Americans from anonymity. And this week, Ketanji Brown Jackson, a Black woman, was nominated for the Supreme Court. The Catholic Church could learn a lesson from all this soul searching. We should have a museum that includes some of our Catholic mistakes. The Crusades, the Inquisition, sex abuse scandal, oppression of women, denigration of LGBTQ people. If we're going to preach justice to the world, we need to correct the injustices within our own community. Why do you see the splinter in your neighbor's eye, but you don't see the plank in your own eye? So nobody can deny that we're living in pretty scary times right now. This week is pretty frightening with the invasion of Ukraine. Authoritarian rulers seem to be taking over democracies. People are wondering, what's next? World War III? At times it seems like everything is falling apart. But you know what? We got to remember that we're part of a gigantic evolutionary process in this vast universe. Something big, much bigger than us, is happening. We need to remember that part of evolution is breakdown and destruction. Certain things have to die before new life emerges. Nobody likes earthquakes, but earthquakes give rise to new life forms on the earth. Nobody likes hurricanes, but hurricanes stir up the ocean floor, and new life forms can appear after those hurricanes. So there's a pattern over the millennia. Order, disorder, reorder. And it happens in our own lives too, because we're all part of evolution. Just think in your own life. Maybe you're going through something right now. Order, disorder, reorder. And the Holy Spirit will draw new life from all the disorder and all the breakdowns. Our job is to accept this pattern, keeps happening over and over again, and to hold our heads high. We need to be hopeful and keep working courageously for a new world. We all know who Amanda Gorman is. She said recently that she almost turned down the invitation to be the inaugural poet at President Joe Biden's inauguration. She almost turned it down. Why? She was terrified. First of all, COVID was raging, and she, because of her age, could not be vaccinated. Plus, she was Black, invisible, and unprotected. Her friends urged her to wear a bulletproof vest. She, after all, would be standing on the same ground where white supremacists just days earlier violently broke into that Capitol building. But she said, "I decided not to look at fear as cowardice, but as a call forward, a summons to fight for what we hold dear." So on the morning of the inauguration day, she said, "I did up my hair, put on my makeup, and on the way to the Capitol, I recited the mantra I say before I perform any performance. I am the daughter of Black writers. We're descended from freedom fighters who broke their chains, and they changed the world. They call me. They call me." God is calling us. In the midst of all this turmoil, the Russian invasion, COVID, all the other horrible things that are going on, God's calling us to be courageous, to go forward, to make a better world, to hold our heads high. And today, Jesus gives us the key to how to make this happen. He says we need to improve our vision. We've got to see better. If the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch. Take the plank out of your own eye, so then you can see clearly. So that's the key. Jesus says, start with yourself. I'm going to start with myself. Let's start with ourselves. By reforming ourselves, we can help reform the whole world. Amen.